Good morning. Welcome to each of you to the Lord's house this morning. As always, we'd like to encourage everyone to please sign the attendance register at the end of the pew and pass that on down the row for your neighbors to sign as well. If this is your first visit to Berea Christian Church this morning, we want to say a special welcome to you, and we'd like to invite you to visit with us at the back of the church following our service today. We'll be back there shaking some hands. Please do drop by and let us know this is your first time here, and we'd be honored to share a small gift with you before you leave today. Our annual turkey dinner is this coming Thursday and Friday, the 7th and 8th. Please look over the bulletin flyer to see how you might be able to help with all the tasks throughout this week, beginning actually tomorrow morning with pulling and cleaning turnips. Everyone's assistance is appreciated as we welcome our neighbors and serve about 1,200 to 1,300 turkey dinners is our anticipated attendance for that. Tickets are also still available back in the foyer for the turkey dinner and also for the quilt raffle. Please read through the information in your bulletin announcement to learn more about several other activities taking place in our fellowship. Please note that today is Blanket Sunday. There's a couple of examples up here to my left, to your right. There's a little envelope inside your bulletin you can take out and read how to contribute to that very important ministry. Also, the KC Metro Men's Chorus will be performing at Fairview Christian Church this afternoon at 3 o'clock as a benefit for the Christmas store. And Bob has a minute for mission.
Good morning. There are a lot of plastic shoe boxes left, and if you would like to fill one up with the Operation Christmas Child, those boxes will be due back November 24th and will be delivered that day to the collection center to begin their journey. The Thanksgiving tree in the foyer outside the sanctuary is full of leaves with food items. Pick as many leaves as you want, then buy the items found on the leaves, bring them back on Sunday morning, and place them under the tree. Please return the leaves for their use next year. Thanksgiving food boxes will then be made ready for needy families from the Pathfinder and Early Childhood Center in Pleasant Valley. Please have food here by Sunday, November 17th. Thank you for all that you do.
Yeah, there's pamphlets in your bulletin about buying blankets and things like that. So check it out, please. Please rise for the call to worship. Come, let us praise the Lord. Let us come before him with thanksgiving. He is our God, and we are the people he cares for, the flock for which he provides. Let us sing hymn number 330, all stanzas.
Alleluia, hear God's story still unfolded with each dawn. Taste the wine and body broken, God's creative love lives on. Who the neighbor, who the hungry, who is thirsty for shalom. God of journey, in your story, lead us with the neighbor home. Alleluia, sing the story, God's great faithfulness proclaim. Tell of prophets and apostles, sing the power of Jesus' name. Who the laborer, who the listener, who has ears to hear our song? God of history, tune our voices, make our hopeful witness strong. Alleluia, dance the story, every sin you now engage. Tethered close in truthful worship, boldly face the coming age. Who the neighbor, who the watchful, who will welcome life's embrace? God of gospel, tell the story through our dancing of your grace.
Thank you, Eli Jacoba, with help from Big Sister Jatana, for being our acolyte this morning. Maybe about a moment of prayer. Once again, O God, we give you thanks for this privilege to gather here in your house on this Lord's Day. As we are preparing to serve a turkey dinner to over 1,000 members of our community this upcoming week, we ask your guidance and your strength to fulfill the many tasks of this event. Lord God, we also give thanks for the blessing of a baby dedication coming up here in just a few more minutes, and the joy this provides as we welcome more children into our presence. We pray now, O Lord, that your living presence will be among us as we begin our worship service together. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Please take a few moments to greet and welcome those around you. Please be seated. Please be seated. Well, folks, we have a special treat this morning. It is going to be our honor and privilege to dedicate a new baby into our midst here. If I can have the Jacobo family, or I should say families, plural, come to the front, please. Did you folks ever imagine any bigger? Come on up, guys. All right. What a privilege it is to be able to dedicate another child into God's kingdom as he grows up here in Berry Christian Church. But before we do that, I want to recognize an event that occurred 2 years ago today. That was the day that the Jacobo family adopted their final sibling group of Jatana, Joseph, and Caleb. It was on November 3rd, 2017. Where's Jatana? That Jatana Janelle Mendoza became Jatana Rose Jacobo. This little guy was originally named Diane Gonzalez, and on November 3rd, 2017, he became Joseph Matthew Jacobo. This little guy here came to us as Caleb Gonzalez, and on November 3rd, 2017, he became Caleb Joseph Jacobo. So, all together, the Jacobo family has fostered 54 children. 10 were adopted. Of course, they have 4 biological children. When I made this note, I wrote down 4 grandchildren. It's up to 6 now. And one little other fun fact. The last names of all these children here, we have a copy, and they're now Jacobos. But the number of last names represented by this family, we have Frias, Torres, Pendeloza, Mendoza, Gonzalez, Bryant, Osley, Santillan, McMahon, and of course the Rodriguez and Hernandez and McLaughlin families are here with us this morning. So, wow, what a mouthful.
Hi, little buddy.
It is now my honor and privilege to introduce Roman Michael Jacobo Rodriguez. Born April 30th, weighing in at 7 pounds, 14 ounces. Good memory. Didn't even have to look at my notes for that. All right. So, I wonder, would you like to go meet some people, little Roman? Hang on. Thank you.
people. Wow. He needs all four of those names to give his weight. I think he weighs more than his sister, who is, what is she now, 2.5, three years old? I think he weighs more than his three-year-old sister does. So, Jessica and Michael, I'd like to ask you in front of these witnesses here in your church family, and if you feel so led, please respond with, "We do." Do you vow to consider your son Roman a gift from God and to raise him to the best of your abilities in the Christian faith and in the ways of God with much guidance and support from your extended families and from your church family? Awesome. And we know that sometimes in life, things happen in God's plan that we aren't immediately prepared for. So to the extended family, that's all of you up here, to the extended family of Jessica, Michael, Aria, and Roman, I would ask you to please respond, "I do," or "I will," to this question. Do you vow, in the presence of these witnesses, that in the event Jessica or Michael become unable to continue caring for Roman, that you will step in as Roman's caregivers, consider him one of your family, and love him and raise him in God's ways and in the Christian faith with much support from your church family and extended families? We do. All right. Awesome. So, folks, you've heard this family's commitment, and I want to share a few thoughts about the commitment of our church to this family. The Jacobas came here to Barrie in 2015, and immediately you loved and embraced them and their children, who at that time were mostly still in foster care. You celebrated with them each time a child or a sibling group got adopted. Then when Jesus became ill with cancer, and later when Michelle became ill with her own cancer, you took them under your wing. You cooked for them and brought them food. You helped them with medical bills. You put together quite an impressive caravan of cars to take the kids to and from school each day. And many of you took the kids to your homes to spend the night or go to the movies or other activities while the family was working to recover from their various illnesses. And you did for them what you would hope others would do for you were you in that situation. So, I will ask your answer to this question, if you would, congregation, please respond with, "We will." Do you vow that you will love Roman, this child, and his family, and will support this family as they raise Roman in God's ways and in the Christian faith?
Yes.
Awesome. Would you all bow in prayer with me for just a moment? Gracious and loving God, we give you the glory for the birth of this beautiful child and for the strong and loving family that he's so blessed to be a part of. Lord, we pray for your guidance for this family and for our church family as we support Roman's parents and extended families for many years to come, and in fact, for the rest of our lives and for the rest of Roman's life. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
You may now be seated, except kiddos, if you'd stick around for the children's sermon. And at this time, we'd like to invite the rest of our kiddos to come up front for the children's sermon as we sing the first stanza of "Tell Me the Stories of Jesus."
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea. Stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
Good morning, kids.
Good morning.
How are you all today? Today I'm going to tell you a story that's in the Bible, in Genesis, and it's about Joseph. Have you all heard the story about Joseph and the coat of many colors? Well, You know, Jacob was his dad, and Jacob had 12 boys, and he did have one girl, too. But Joseph is his favorite son, and he wanted to do something special for him, so he gave him a coat of many colors. And some of these colors may have been like this. There could have been a red one. Would you hold this for me? And there may have been a purple one, may have been a blue one, it may have been a pink one, may have been an orange, and a purple. Would you hold that for me? And a blue, and a yellow. Just all kinds of colors. Aren't they beautiful? And at those days, they didn't have a sewing machine, so we're going to do something a little special with them. And would you put the red in here? Blue. Oh, boy. We're getting a bunch of them in there. An orange. And a purple. And yellow. There we go. Now, in those days, they didn't have a sewing machine, so they had to put them together some way or the other. And a lot of times, they hand-sewed them. And I'll take this cap here, and I'll put it on here. And this might turn into a special thing. Let's see. Oh, my goodness. Look at that. Would you grab a hold of that for me? Oh, my goodness. Look at this. Boy, now I don't know if Joseph's coat looked like that at all, but wouldn't that be nice if it was made out of something like that? And I'll take it back. Thank you. Thank you. I'll put it over here. Oop, almost took you along with it. Well, Joseph was, of course, the favorite son of Jacob. And one day, all the brothers were out in the field and watching the flocks of sheep that they had. And Jacob said to Joseph, "Why don't you go check on your brothers and see if they're doing a good job or not?" So he did. And his brothers saw Joseph coming, and of course they were very jealous of he got this beautiful coat of many colors, and they had just like burlap robes and weren't very pretty or anything. And so they said, we're going to get rid of Joseph. So there was a big pole there, and they threw Joseph into it. They took his robe off, and shortly after that, they saw a caravan coming, and it was a slave caravan, and they were headed for Egypt. And so they thought, by golly, we'll get rid of Joseph. We'll sell him to the caravan. So they sold it to the caravan, and they never got to see, took the robe and they put some goat's blood on it and took it back to their dad. And they said that Joseph had a bad accident with some wild animal. And the wild animal came. You remember that? And here this robe was all bloody. Oh, it looked terrible. And of course, the brothers acted like they were real sad that this happened. But, and they're real sad because Joseph was his favorite son. Well, years later, over in Egypt, of course, Joseph was a slave at this time, and the king had a lot of problems with dreams, and he couldn't sleep at night. So what he decided to do is find out what these dreams meant. And he called all the whole area and to see what the dreams meant. And he got every wise man that he could. Nobody could tell him what the dreams meant. So the guards, the people that took care of the slaves, man that he believes in God and maybe he can help. So they called Joseph to the king, and the king said, "Can you tell me what these dreams meant?" Of course, Joseph said, "Well, it means that we're going to have 7 years of plenty of food, and then we're going to have 7 years of no food at all." So he told the king, he said, "What we're going to have to do is put some of the food away during the years of plenty, and so that we have food to feed any food." So the king was really impressed with Joseph, and he put him in charge of all everything. And so a little bit later, his brothers over in Canaan came over to see him, and they needed to get some food because they were hungry. And they were surprised to see their and they were just so happy to get food, and they took it back to their father. And then Joseph talked to the king, and he said, "You know," he said, "I'd like to bring my whole family here to Egypt." And
the king said, "Yes, you can."
And so he brought his whole family to Egypt,
and
lived in a land of plenty. So anyhow, I did to remind you of this little story. And by the way, all this happened because Joseph believed in God and he did what God told him. And I made this sheet for you to take to remind you of Joseph. And I went and colored mine. Isn't that pretty? And I'll give each one of you, I hope I have enough here. I'll pass these out. Did you pass? Oh, I got two there. Pass it there. And so you can take these home and color them. And this will remind you of Joseph. Is there two of them there? They stick together sometimes. There you go. Would you like one too? Then when you get home, you can color and make them look pretty. Well, they're sticking together. There we go. Oh, I've got two of them there. I'll even give one to the can color. Now if we could all bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Jesus, thank you for each child here. Thank you that you are our key to heaven. Help us to tell others that you're the only way. Amen.
Thank you, Ed, and thank you, Jim, also. As we have the privilege to go to God in prayer, first of all, I just want to mention that Alyssa is needing some assistance with a school project, I'm understanding. So if about 10 people could stay and be part of an audience this afternoon, right after the service, won't take very long, but she just needs a little help with that. Right, Alyssa? So appreciate that. But also, We want to lift up that in Robin's family, her mother, Viola Edgemond, is not doing well. And so all of the Egret family has been present with that concern for Robin's mother, Viola. Also, we want to mention that Grace Kimmerling is at North Kansas City Hospital, and our sympathies extended to Russell Stewart with the loss of his mother, Dolores, just this past Thursday. Terry Lyons would like for us to remember her daughter, Melissa, as she's anticipating the birth of a child anytime soon here. We lift up Harry Booth and Bob Maddox, as both are making their recovery from recent surgeries. Larry Witten is still anticipating gallbladder surgery in the near future. Freddie Nichols' granddaughter, Serena's in our prayers, as well as Arlita White's sister, Mary Triplett, and Connie Stark's brother, Chris. All of these people we keep in prayer every day. So may we bow our heads before the Lord's presence this morning. Merciful and loving God, it is with joy in our hearts that we assemble in your house of worship, privileged to offer praise to your holy name. And on this Sunday, right after All Saints' Day this past Friday, we know we are privileged to lift up our hearts and minds the names of dear loved ones who have passed on before our time, realizing that our walk of faith rests upon the shoulders of believers in generations past that have inspired and nurtured us in the faith. And yet, even as we remember these loved ones, we also recognize that our greatest adoration belongs to Christ, who is indeed Lord and Savior. And as this week unfolds, we especially seek your divine guidance as we strive to welcome over 1,000 people into our fellowship as we offer many of your children what we hope will be a warm welcome and a hearty meal, even as the Thanksgiving season is fast approaching. And as we are united in faith and purpose, we hope most of all that our task this week will be a living testimony of your great joy. For as Romans chapter 15, verse 13 declares, "May the God of hope fill us with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit we may abound in hope." This we pray, as we also recite the prayer that our Lord Jesus teaches us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And Judy, we thank you for reading our scripture this morning.
Good morning. Our scriptures from the New Testament is John 6, 35 through 40, and you can find that on page 974 in your pew Bible. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. Everything that the Father gives me will come to me, and anyone who comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. This is indeed the will of my Father, that all who see the Son and believe in him may have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day."
Thank you.
We are in the spirit of prayer and preparation as we turn to our communion hymn and sing stanzas 1 and 3 of hymn number 351, Fill My Cup, Lord.
Like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy. And then I heard my Savior speaking, draw from my well that never shall run dry. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. So my friend, if all the things this world gave you leave hungers that won't pass away, my blessed Lord will come and save you. If you kneel to Him and humbly pray, fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole.
As we have the privilege to go before God in prayer and at the Lord's table, we remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as Don leads us in a word of prayer.
Gracious Heavenly Father, again we thank you for the privilege we have to come around this table. We come here this morning and we remember your life and your death and your resurrection. And because of your resurrection, we have hope. We have hope for eternal life. We ask you to bless these emblems for the nourishment of our spiritual body. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
These are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning. Thank you. you can see from the flyer that's in your bulletin that the blanket Sunday offering certainly benefits a significant number of people, not only by providing blankets, but indeed a number of other resources for people who have experienced significant needs during time of crisis. So we hope you may give generously to the blanket offering as we also receive our tithes and offerings this morning, and as Judy leads us in a word of prayer.
Dear God, for this beautiful day we have to be here, we are grateful. And we feel very blessed to share our offering with this church to do its work. We ask that you would bless it and guide us in the use of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Lord God, we pray this offering is used for your glory now and always. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. May we pray. Holy God, we're indeed grateful to be in your house and to know that as we focus our attention on your Spirit's guidance upon us, we know that we can certainly achieve good things for the glory of your purposes here on earth. It's in Christ's name that we give thanks. Amen. For some reason, every time the weather turns colder, I find myself thinking of Ernest Shackleton and the HMS Endurance. I think it's because the gentleman on that journey experienced such profoundly extreme cold. I think to myself, well, anything I'm dealing with doesn't even compare to what they dealt with. Sir Ernest Henry Shackleton was an Irish explorer who led a British expedition that came within 97 miles of reaching the true South Pole in the year 1908. And although he did not achieve recognition for being the first explorer to actually reach the South Pole, it was in 1914, several years later, that he sent out another newspaper advertisement to promote another expedition, the Imperial Antarctic Expedition, a quest to be the first party to actually cross over the Antarctic by land. The advertisement read this way: men wanted for hazardous duty, small wages, bitter cold, long months of complete darkness, constant danger, safe return, doubtful. Honor and recognition in case of success, Ernest Shackleton. Now remember the time period here, this is 1914. How many people do you think would respond to such an abysmal journey in that golden age of heroism and exploration? I mean, why would you risk your life for such a thing? Yet, 5,000 applicants came through. 5,000 men said, yes, I want to be there. Sailors all the way to Cambridge graduates. 27 were chosen to join Shackleton's adventure. You see, deep within the human psyche, people seem to be drawn to adventure because I think that we really have a desire, a yearning, if you will, to achieve, to feel like our life makes a difference. If not for ourselves, then certainly for other people, and if not for other people, certainly maybe even for God. Seeking a sense of achievement through the quest of the unknown still is with us even today. For how many private corporations do we now have striving to get back to the moon and to Mars? How many? 9. We have 9 corporations now in the midst of that adventure, spending millions of dollars hoping to get back to the moon and then eventually to Mars within the next decade or so. We shall see. Even God, in his own very nature, seems to have a desire for achievement. For look at all that God has indeed achieved in his creation. As you look at the script text of Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, the text tells us God looked at everything that he had made, and it was what? Good. That's right. You know, for the most of us who live our daily lives, we feel like at times it's kind of like a grind, the same old similar routine, and we are among the millions of people all across the world who go through these routines over and over and over again, day after day. We wonder, does our life make a difference for others or for God? And yet, as we raise the question, isn't it true that the best example we can look toward is that of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? For indeed, we know from Scripture and the stories we know of his life that Jesus gained a sense of purpose. For he knew that he was to fulfill God's plan for the salvation of humanity. Now, have you ever wondered how Jesus just knew that? You know, we think, wouldn't it be great to have a direct line from God, where if God could just give us instructions, you know, well, then we know we'd know what to do. You know, when I was growing up, it was kind of fun that we had 2 major wire services that came into our garage because my dad worked on teletype machines. We had a United Press International and Journal of Commerce. Those information lines came directly into our garage. So I remember the first election I actually had the opportunity to vote in was the election of 76. And we knew who was president before it hit the television and the radio. Why? Because that's where those news medias got their source, even newspapers that got it through the wire services. So we got that before it hit the airwaves. It was kind of fun being a part of that. Wouldn't it be really fun to kind of know where God wants you, what God wants you to do? Yet we know that Jesus knew that most of all because it was his earnest prayer life that gave him guidance through the blessing of God's Spirit. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 7 through 9. In his life on earth, Jesus made his prayers and requests with loud cries and tears to God. Because he was humble and devoted, God heard him. But even though he was God's son, he learned through his sufferings to be obedient. When he was made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation. So it's not like Jesus woke up every day and had a checklist. I think that Jesus learned, even through his own prayerful meditation, what God's direction was for him. And yet he knew it in his heart. John chapter 4, verse 34, Jesus said that his purpose was to obey the will of the one who sent him and to finish the work that God had given to him. John chapter 6, 38, I have come down from heaven to do not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. John chapter 12, 46, I have come into the world as light so that everyone who believes in me should not remain in darkness. John 18, verse 37, Jesus said to Pilate, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. You see, Jesus had a profound sense of achievement, knowing he was accomplishing God's purpose in his life, right? But you know, you and I say, well, you know, Pastor, I'm not Jesus, and neither are you. How are you going to know what it is that God wants you to be doing, what God wants you to achieve for his purposes? Well, again, I think we need to be able to rely upon the guidance of the Spirit of God, don't we? And we do that in multiple ways. First of all, we achieve God's purposes simply by following God's commands and the example that Jesus sets before us. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, if we obey God's commands, then we are sure that we will know him. Or in verse 5 of that same text, whoever obeys God's word is the one whose love for God has already been made perfect. And in verse 6, whoever says that he remains in union with God should live just as Christ Jesus lived. Secondly, we achieve God's purposes by simply being close to God in worship, in study, and in fellowship. As John chapter 9, verse 31 tells us, if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. And the third thing is follow the guidance of God's Holy Spirit. John chapter 14, verse 15 and continuing, if you love me, Jesus said, you will obey my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper who will stay with you forever. Who is that helper? It is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit does want to guide us, correct? Each and every day gives us hints of what we can be doing. And of course, fourthly, we can recognize that it is in the simplest of tasks that God can indeed use us. We all don't have to be mountain climbers. We all don't have to make it to the moon. It is in the midst of the things we do day to day that God will use us to be a benefit to others, to be an inspiration to others. You remember, my friend, I mentioned to you weeks ago, Jim Stewart. What was it that he did? He wrote cards, thousands of them. Every day he had the discipline of getting up and writing cards to a handful of people that he knew over the course of his lifetime. And yet he touched the lives of so many people in that simple way. Or maybe it's just being an inspiration for the youngest among us, many of whom we celebrate here this morning, right? You know, the Halloween evening porch security video of a particular child went viral this past Thursday and Friday. The video shows a young boy dressed as Dracula. As he approached the porch, he realized that the bowl that was there on a stool on the front of the porch, that bowl was empty. And the video, though, shows that the little boy, what he did, as he looked behind and realized there were some other children back behind him that were coming up, he took candy out of his own bag and he filled up the bowl with a bunch of that candy, handful after handful of candy, he puts into that empty bowl so that the children who were coming after him would not find an empty bowl. Right? What I thought was also striking is realize there was a little sister there with him, and obviously his mother was there. She was kind of shadowing him, you know, keeping him safe, keeping her children safe. But I cannot help but think, you know, now there is a mother who has been an inspiration to her children in the way that she raised them. Because I don't think that kind of generosity, that kind of consideration of other people just comes out of happen chance. It comes from inspiration and guidance, doesn't it? Right. So I believe those parents have made a wonderful achievement in helping little Dracula learn to be generous in heart, mind, and action. Right. And so, you know, you might ask, well, okay, well, what happened to the Shackletons, that whole situation? You know, they never finished that journey in 1914. Their ship became frozen and ice-packed less than 100 miles from the starting point of their walking journey to the pole. It took two treacherous years for those 27 men to finally get back to civilization. 2 years of living on a frozen tundra. And yet, that expedition is not remembered because they made it to the South Pole, because they didn't. What they are remembered for is that for the simple fact that not a single adventurer's life was lost from the expedition, because they cared for each other's safety and welfare, until they knew they all got back safely. The sign outside, achievement matters. And yeah, going to the moon, going to the poles might be interesting, maybe even going to Mars is. But when it comes to God's purposes, that which we achieve for God is for all eternity. You know, Christ, if you don't know him, maybe today is that day for you to come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed. Or maybe today is that day for you to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. I extend the invitation to you as we turn to hymn number 337, Jesus Calls Us O'er the Tumult stanzas. Unless for the sake of time, we're going to do the first and fifth stanzas, if you don't mind, Lenora. 1 and 5, number 337. May we stand and sing.
Jesus calls us o'er the tumult of our lives' wild, restless sea. Day by day his sweet voice soundeth, saying, Christian, follow me. Jesus calls us by thy mercies, Savior, may we hear thy call. Give our hearts to thine obedience, serve and love thee best of all.
Thank you for being in the Lord's house this morning. Again, remember, this is our big turkey dinner week, is it not? Serving on Thursday and Friday, but tomorrow we're going to be pulling turnips starting at 8:30 here at the church for any of you that can join us in a lot of activity throughout all the week. Please take a look at that Manila flyer in your bulletin. It'll let you know what's going on what day. Your assistance will be greatly appreciated. May we bow our heads in prayer. Holy God, we're privileged to be in your house. For the Jacobo family, we celebrate dedication of Roman. Lord, as we all journey forward, we know your Spirit is with us. And for this, we do give thanks as we step forward in the new week. In Christ's name, we give thanks. Amen.
Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel his mighty power and his grace. I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel his mighty power and his grace.
I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.